As was said, I began my nursing career actually my entire nursing career started in Nicaragua in 1976. And so I've been deeply shaped by nurses and many other persons in Central America. I'm hoping that in these glimpses, in these few minutes, you can get a sense for the breadth of challenges as well as sort of the pinpoints of light, I would call it, of nurses in Central America in the way that they are addressing what is in front of them these days. Just a bit of background. Traditionally, Central American nurses really have not had an organized approach to policy because the instability in the region has been ongoing and it jumps from country to country. So when I was in Nicaragua in the 70s, I lived through the Sandinista Revolution and then replaced the Somoza dynasty, which was a dictatorship. That changed nursing and health care. And then I was also living there when the Sandinistas lost the election in 1980 and it moved to a more neoliberal approach in the 1980s. Now we're back to President Ortega, who is from the Sandinista party, but I would suggest that it's a continuation of neoliberal policies there as well, in a different face. In Honduras during the 70s and 80s was supposedly a quieter place, but now we're seeing much more of an unrest there, and I'll talk a bit about that later. El Salvador and Guatemala, of course, were also in civil wars a bit later than Nicaragua. And I lived in El Salvador among displaced persons in the 80s and have lots of stories from that time. So along with the unrest, place of women in those societies really affected what nurses could do, as well as then that affected how nursing was seen and whether they were seen with any power or at all. And yet nurses always have been there pushing. Just to give you a quick view of the percent of GDP spent on healthcare among Central American countries, Costa Rica never has had revolutions. They don't have an army. They did not have an indigenous population, and so it was settled by small Spaniards, small farmers from Spain. Very few. There is an indigenous population, but it's very small compared to the others, and they were localized on the East Coast. So they have a political will to address health in ways that others don't. Just a glimpse there of the different countries. I would like to give a bit of background of how outside groups can help shape policy. One of the ones we perhaps don't think about is the Sigma Theta Tau, the Nursing Honor Society. They have been in a series of meetings called the Arista series. There are five different world regional meetings to look at nursing, which may not change things on the ground immediately, but it gives nurses in local context something to hang on to and say, this is what we need to be. And it's a goal and it's a structure that it's useful for them. Of course, we all know Pan American Health Organization, and this gives a quick snapshot of all of nursing in the Americas. Notice particularly the bottom right, that there are 20 million nurse midwife personnel worldwide. 5 million of them are in the Americas, or 25%, but hang on to that 5 million because the third slide will show a different view of that. Nursing personnel make up 60% of the healthcare system. This is an infogram, by the way, that's actually a big long thing, and I'm trying to divide it in three slides. So if you go on the PAHO website, you'll see this. But if you look at the bottom right corner of this one, 5 million5 million of those nurses. So 57% of those 5 million are actually living in the United States. So that gives you some idea of how that affects then nursing. So I would like to give a bit of a snapshot just of two countries in the short time, Honduras and Nicaragua. There's plenty to talk about with the other countries, but let's just do a brief snapshot. And first I would like to give voice to a nurse leader in Nicaragua, Lidia Samora. I found Lidia leading a nursing school of nursing in 1980s when I was there. She had a bachelor's degree, but was doing research out of some mimeographed pages from Pollitt and Hungler's research book. I said, "You need to go to school. You need a master's." So found a way to get her to George Mason with her family. Since then, she has continued. She's the only nurse in Nicaragua with a PhD in nursing, and has done a history of nursing in Nicaragua, is very involved in the nursing organization, was involved. She's not part of the Sandinista Party, therefore now she has been sidelined because it's a very political appointment to be part of the Nicaraguan Nurses Association. However, she has moved on and she's now the president of the university at that Polytechnical University, and is trying to make changes broadly in the country worldwide, health-wise. So these are words from her. She noted that in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, nursing had more of an influence on health ministry authorities. And faculty were able to be part of some of those decision-makings and the policy, and they worked on nursing standards. Schools of nursing were very involved, and in the last 10 years, there are just not nurses involved in policy level at the national policy at the national level. It's pretty much unheard of, were her words. The nursing organizations, because they're political appointments, go back and forth, and so there's not strong leadership over time. What I noticed in looking more in depth at this, it is the universities that are providing ideas and some policy suggestions, but they have no power then at the national level. So they do symposiums, they do education, but they can't go on. Health reforms in Nicaragua follow the political changes. So it became universal care, then it was privatized, and now it's more of a mix. Older nurses tend to be supportive of current policies because they lived through the revolution. Younger nurses are not so much. Younger nurses need jobs, and they're frustrated by having to toe a particular line to be able to talk about it. One little example of that was the study of the use of clean delivery kits in Bluefields, done by an acquaintance of mine. What she found out there is that there's a large number of deaths by maternal deaths, and in order to reduce that, the ministry said, okay, all births must happen in the hospital with licensed personnel. Meanwhile, most of the births are actually happening with midwives, and so there's no link between the two. So the suggestion, of course, policy suggestion, is that they be trained rather than trying to sideline them. But there is no way currently in the Ministry of Health, they have no idea how many are working or what they're doing or what their training is as midwives. Move on to Honduras. Can you tell me my time?
Yeah, 15 minutes.
And where are we at? I'm not there. Okay. Honduras is fascinating. Now, the nurses are very, very active, and they are, I would call them more revolutionary. So there, it's not policy, and it tends to be the auxiliary nurses because they're organized in unions. So particularly after the coup then the attempted return of the former president, they were in the streets. They were talking about working conditions and justice. There's an article that I would suggest to you called Revolution as Care Plan, Ethnography, Nursing, and Somatic Solidarity in Honduras. It's an excellent article, and in that describes this whole process, as well as describing the situation in which one of the nurses was murdered as she came out of a union organizing meeting in February, 5 years ago. So the implications for us, I think, is simply stay in solidarity, be friends with, support, maybe use grant money we have to do research together to put their names forward and give them a voice in their own country. That's what seems to have worked in the past, and that's what I think would work for us more in the future. Thank you.